Okay, now let's talk about running.
No.
I know. Anything you learned so far, as far as culture? Wala pa tayong scripture. Ano pa lang yun? Just introduction, okay? Anything you wanna add? Kasi hindi ito ma-explain minsan eh. Yun, alam mo, hindi may lagay sa papel. But you just have to hear it. You just have to internalize it and see your own experiences and use your own context. And that will be your launching pad to you know, communicate to the next. So it's always good to be able to help that build that landscape rather than contributor to the toxic environment. You don't want that. If you're seeing yourself contributing to that toxic environment, pause, ask someone, ano na yung ginawa ko last week ulit? Ilan na yung nasaktan ko last week? Oh no, I repent, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm not contributing to the team. I'm becoming more of a liability than an asset. Lord, help me, forgive me. Diba, minsan kasi matigas ulo natin minsan, diba? And so, but we needed people who will be from the outside and says, you know, for this, sa totoo lang, you've hurt so many people already. Try to look back. You have lots and lots of body bags. Uh-oh. Ako ba yun? Di yata ako yun. Di, ikaw yun eh. You've hurt so many people because of your confrontative... okay lang naman maging confrontational. Pero meron yung confrontational na it breaks people's hearts. Meron yung confrontational na hindi ka takot na i-correct. Pero yung iba, nagko-correct to the point na lupay-pay na, inaano pa. So, nangyari, people are, hindi sila encouraged. Okay yung mag-confront, depending on the situation. Pero confront ka ng confront, yung isa, nakuha na, hindi inano mo pa eh. So now, the guy's not participating anymore. Now, mamaya, may liturgy na, mamaya, meron ng apathy. Kasi may resentment na eh. So sometimes you just have to watch it. That's why it's good to have friends who would tell you what you need to hear. People who, I hope you have friends like that who would tell you what you need to hear, not just what you want to hear. So it's really very crucial, very important. What are, any question? Any questions so far? Anything you want to add? Anything else? Any more toxic things that you are observing? Not in your setting, not in your church. Now you think, what do you think now? No, don't you worry, it's not tape. Dennis, don't listen to this because Voj is about to know. Anything else? Yes? Sure, please.
Na-reinforce lang yung sinabi niyo po na we should be gardener of the culture. Kasi there are, for me, personal as a campus minister, there are a lot of things that I really want to teach the students or I really want to inculcate in them. And then, na-reinforce lang yun that they have to be, I have to be able to bring down to their level the culture where, the culture that we are operating in, yeah. Like believing in people,
yeah, exactly.
All of that. So, kasi ang daming pwedeng ituro eh, and yes. They have limited time in the campus, but mm-hmm. What would, I realize that for in our context, what really works for us to bring the campus ministry into new level is really creating the culture mm-hmm. more than the information that I'm giving them.
Great.
And so, nakaka-excite lang for
good.
Me. And I was talking to some of the CEU students before that. Kasi
CEU?
Yeah, CEU po. Mindiola area.
You came from there ba?
Hindi po. Diliman.
The Pink Panther.
Ano lang. Hindi po, Scorpion.
Pastor Robert Galing din yun.
Pink Scorpion. Weird,
pink
di ba?
Scorpion
sila actually. Ang weird.
Pink nga lang.
Oh, pink. Yun yung ano. Tapos, nare-remind lang ako when you were talking, I was talking to them that, can you help me create the culture that leadership development is important?
That's right.
Na they cannot just, kasi magmi-meeting kami, parang sila, okay lang, hindi umaten, or kung gusto ko, aten ako. But it's a very important meeting for us eh, kasi all of na-aten leaders. So parang, I was just casting the vision, can you help me create that culture?
Yeah.
That is one of the most important meetings that we can ever have. Kasi we're going to pray for Mindiola, we're going to encourage each other about the campuses and all of that. So, ayun lang. Ang galing lang nung inanana, bearer, gardener, and plotter of culture.
I have a question. Let's say in Malate, Percy, ano yung, kasi kahit per congregation, may konting uniqueness ang culture. But what do you think are the exciting cultures that you've experienced growing up in Malate? Tell us, share with us.
One thing I think is still distinct until today in Malate, especially in our youth congregation, is the combination of being, they term it like rational and relational.
Good.
A combination of people who loves to just think, and because we're surrounded with campuses like UP Manila and De La Salle, and we have 17 campuses and colleges and universities around.
So De La Salle is relational, and then UP is the logical.
Something like that. Yeah, maybe, I don't know. I don't want to.
Sorry. Okay.
But even the way we, for example, Pastor Nixon would flavor his preaching would always be deep, but somehow humorous and relational to people.
Forgive me.
Yeah, UP,
UP I agree with you. I agree with you.
Yeah. Yeah. Something.
Anything else? Is that it?
That's one thing that I would.
Yeah. So. Okay. What
and
else?
The sense of family.
What about Green Hills, Bojo? What do you think you observed there? Not the positive culture that's part of your thing there. That you have noticed.
It's all about money. No, I'm just kidding.
No, the youth.
And the youth.
Allowance?
No, in the youth, it's really, like, well, currently, like what she said, the cliquish, because mainly the youth that we minister to are mostly from high school.
Mm.
So it's very cliquish. So that's the current culture. And syempre, we want to create an environment, a new culture where you get out of the comfort zone and try to engage and meet other people, develop new relationships.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a current culture that we have right now, which we're working on.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. And in cliquish, I think is somebody mentioned cliquish? Ikaw ba yun, babes? I think you deal with personal insecurities kasi. So I think the more we bring them to the gospel, to Jesus Christ, and the more they become secure in Christ, the more they can have the heart for others and reach out and get out from that comfort zone of click. Comfort zone kasi yun eh. The more they get out, the more they mingle, they realize there's another world there. And so I think we need to constantly, I think this is one of the key situations that we're going to be facing in the youth ministry. I'm telling you that because she's 20 next month, so I have a teenager, 19. And it's really, we have to really disciple Elizabeth to get out, break out from her just same level classmate, but relate with the younger ones, and relate with the seniors, and relate with the boys in a healthy way. And di naman yung puro babae, pero pagdating sa girls, pagdating sa boys, parang, you know, I mean, they have to be taught how to relate to the men, to the senior, to the, and it would require a deliberate, we have to, my Elizabeth and I had that, and I think between the two of them, the mom and her, had that situation where Judy has to explain to her that there's another world out there. Because the tendency is, when this is the only group you have, your clique, and this person offended you, you're stuck. And now you're and it's affecting your spirituality already. But if you have to realize this offended you, but and yet at the same time, that's his weakness. The Lord is working something in her or his life on that area. So, but you have to understand, we have to tell Elizabeth, look, you have other friends in school, not just this group of people you have. And then she started exploring the classmates in the school, and she realized there's another world there. Now it's when we celebrated her 19th birthday last year, 18th, because we went to the States, but 19th birthday, we had people from younger class, senior, from different schools, and it was amazing seeing that 19th birthday. I was amazed. So it's really something that we need to. A breakthrough na kailangan ma-experience ng mga youth. Now we can help them. See, cliquish is it's a sign where you can see where you belong, yes, but at the same time, they need to learn. Kasi kasama yan sa preaching of the gospel. Eh. You have to get that from your comfort zone and be able to, you know. So, yes, sir, Joseph.
I'm hearing from what you're saying, even what you're talking about, how the missionaries, and one thing I'm getting that's really tinatamaan talaga ako is when you're discipling students, a lot of it isn't just Bible right away or church things right away, but a lot of it is life things, mm-hmm. you know, like what you're describing, how to relate to other people. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I might not have a theological reason for it, but kung hahanapin ko pa yon, hindi ko masasabi sa bata yun.
Eh. Exactly.
Pero kailangan itong turuan, bro, ganito mag-prom, ganito mm-hmm. mag-ask out ng date, alam mo yun, ganito mag-apply ng driver's license. You have to teach them those things. Eh. And what you also said about when was the last time you did something for the first time, kung ako mismo, if in my lifestyle, I'm trying new things, I'm growing, I'm developing, then there's something to bring them along into.
Exactly.
But if my lifestyle is after work, I watch TV, then there's not much for them to participate in that will allow them to grow into new things as well.
Exactly.
So, yun lang.
Yeah. So, adventure is one of the other languages of the youth. And, yeah, that's give them, sometimes it gives them a sense of excitement. And doing something new, even though it's simple, is adventure. And it's okay. It's healthy. So that's very important. And then when you do that, then they won't get shocked when you ask them to do something for the first time, like leading a life group. Because to them, it's nakakamatay yun, nakakahimatay yun eh. Lead the life group? Ikaw na lang. Kasi it's always easier if you do it for them. And yet when you... Yeah, there's that culture where they're given a chance to do something new for the first time for God. It's amazing. And you just don't know what God can do and the Holy Spirit can do through you and in you. So that's exciting. Anything else? Any in UP, what is that positive culture you have there that you think that Makati should hear? No. Or the rest of us should hear? Or maybe you're like talking to the choir, but it's okay. We want to hear it again.
The Christian naman yung counselor. Okay.
Yeah, yeah, maganda ron.
The number one counselor, secretary general naman Christian. So anyway. Yeah,
yeah. We got it. You don't have to explain.
Yes. Medyo nas... sakit pa. Anyway, yung mga nangyari. Okay.
Kasi naman, front page ng Inquirer, babae lang, student so, council president.
Yun, pray for us.
Exactly.
Anyway.
At least, non-communist. You know? I mean, yeah. Okay.
So anyway, positive culture siguro in terms of specifically sa youth. The family culture,
atmosphere.
The atmosphere, that's closeness, and even sa service na.
Yeah.
People would greet others, would talk to ano. Hindi siya yung cliquish na ano, yeah. Because people do go out of their way pagdating sa service when we bring in pag dinadala nila sa tambayan sa specifically sa UP. Uh-huh. So yun, I think that's one really positive that we have.
That's great. I think in generally ganun naman talaga UP siguro, down to earth, so hindi masyadong cliquish. Yeah, so yeah, na, totoo naman, di ba? Totoo ba? Wala, ikaw lang ba yung atang taga UP dito eh? Di ba? Di ba? David. Yeah, diba? So anyways, good. Anything else? Anything else? What about in U-Belt? Tell us, what's, anong atmosphere doon?
Sounds like it. Sa U-Belt po, there are three atmospheres that we are guarding and...
Good. What is that?
Three F po. First is atmosphere of fun. Faith and family. Fun, it's very crucial because we are reaching out to students. Hindi pwedeng seryoso. So every time we do victory group, one-to-one, youth service, we inject fun element. Hindi siya yung tipong pang UP na talagang pag nagdi-discussion kayo, matatali. Dapat matatali na. Ay, hindi. Kasi syempre, culture. Hindi kasi, I mean, yung syempre sa UP or what, hindi naman, sa U-Belt kasi medyo hindi patok sa kanila yung masyadong seryoso ang usapan. Yeah, dapat talaga may joke, dapat, I mean, atmosphere of fun. So, kahit sa service, so whole packaging ng service talaga. Fun. Tas, faith, of course, you praying for one another, standing with one another.
Good.
And the last one is a family po.
Family, yeah.
Yeah, family. Being there for them. So mga tao.
Great. Family is always ano kasi karamihan galing from different provinces. When they go there, hindi sila masyadong nalulonly kasi there's a sense of family. Anything else? Okay. This is the problem with iPad. Sorry. Okay. Now that I think get used to it. Get used to evaluating your environment. You guys are the one who would test, and then if you need to cultivate that. When you're leading a team, and then one person said something about faith and a testimony about faith, highlight it. Kasi ikaw naman nagli-lead eh. So alam mo kung anong i-highlight. Kasi leader ka eh. Nung i-highlight mo yung family, pag nagte-testimony rito na umiyak na siya, nung matend siya ng small group, she felt something. Then as a leader, oh, highlight it. And then you say, you know what? That's one of the, so you highlight it. Because that's your value. That's your shared values and shared the culture. And so as a leader, alam mo kung sino, kung meron naman isa doon, medyo negative, puro doubt and unbelief yung sinishare doon sa tabi. Okay. Sure, next. So alam mo kung ano i-emphasize. Kasi alam mo yung culture. Gusto mo i-cultivate, i-recreate, create, cultivate, and set aside things that it should not be there. And so, yun lang. I want you to be a steward of that. There are general things that is also important in a movement. Open, honest communication is important. You have to have open, honest communication. You talk about it. When you're meeting together in your staff meeting, sometimes people are watching you. A new guy would come to your staff meeting with the campus ministers. Okay, kita nila, you guys are, hindi lang kayo yes men, yes women. They see you with different opinions, different, and yet, when you go out, parang you act like one man. And yet, when you're together, when you agreed now on a certain things, you go out as if, wow, wala yung, oh, talo ka kanina, no? Wala yung ganun, tapos na. You try to foster unity. Put your opinion on the table, but when you get out, you know, ganda ng atmosphere because you speak the same. That's one of the things that I hear comments from people and says, you know what? You guys talk the same. Kasi nga, yun yung atmosphere. Not that we're all yes men, women, but we debate when we meet together, but when we agree, we move on, and that's it. So, there's a need for open, honest communication. Our vision is compelling, I think, and clear enough, very simple, concise in four words: honor God, make disciple. And it's really important for you to have that intact, and I think we have the trust and credibility. If there's no trust in your team, walang credibility, ang hirap eh. Ang hirap, it's hard to... So, as I've said, because of the empowering culture, there's that high level of trust. And sometimes when you trust others and they fail you, it's kind of hard to believe them again. Parang it's really hard. I felt that sometimes. One time I preached and I knew I bombed the message. It was so bad that I don't want to preach anymore the next service. So I talked to Steve and I said, Steve, is there any way maybe you can ask someone to preach in the... it's like, you know, I was telling him, no, you preach. Eh, kari-rebuke niya lang sa akin kanina. And he said, no, you do it. And then he left me behind. I was hanging. And yet he still believed in me. And that's something, that's priceless to me. Yes, I bummed the other service, but hey, how many, you know, if someone believe you like that, you want to do your best. You want to give your best shot. That's how to cultivate that culture of trust and credibility. Now, sometimes it's hard, but it's okay. You trust them again. You just have to swallow your ego and believe in that person again. Okay? Believe in that. But, you know, kung sobra kang sensitive na leader, na fail ka lang, ayaw mo nang i-trust, come on. If you'll do that, then you're not gonna have leaders. Because these guys are gonna, they're gonna fail you at one point. But trust them again at one point. Hindi naman ito, ano, hindi, kung moral, kung ano, then, you know, then you set him aside, put him aside, and navigate through his moral failure, whatever it may be. But kung mga issue lang ng ano, you know, nagka, you know, masyadong malilimutin, laging nalilate, laging, alam mo yun, yeah, it's okay, you know? And it's not okay, but believe him again, ask him again. You know, and believe in the person and then mention that once in a while. Hindi po kinakorrect mo na last week, inulit niya uli ngayon, then hindi mo na ulitin. Set him aside again. Not in public, but in, Maya, kamusta na? Everything okay? You know what? Remember last week? Yeah, what about last week? Diba, I told you, you came late, 15 minutes late again. And now you're 30 minutes. What happened? I'm sorry. And then naging worse eh. So, but you talk about it in a secluded place. Don't, you know, wag mo naman pahiya. Unless, you know, you joke to, you know, I mean, your friends or your close, okay lang. Parang si Pastor Manny. Si Pastor Manny, oh, traffic nga eh. Let's say it's okay. Kasi it's fun, you know. But in the people you're raising and so on and so forth, please, you know. There's that open, honest communication, trust, credibility. And like, for example, one campus missionary is having a problem with his love life. Campus missionary, having a problem with his love life. Nagkataon, hindi naman masyado, mga isa lang siguro out of 10,000 campus missionary, na minsan medyo hirap sa relationship, tapos may pattern, anong gagawin mo? Are you gonna kick him out and get him out of campus ministry life box, or what are you gonna do as a senior pastor, as a friend to this life box leader? Well, sit down with the person and navigate through it. May mga tao talaga ganun eh. Ang galing nila sa math. Sa relationship, zero. So may ganun lang talaga. Wala naman dito nun. Pero, you know. So what are you gonna do? Tutulungan mo lang. Tutulungan mo, ina-navigate mo, ganito yun. Hindi ganun. Hindi mo isa-shout out kagad sa Facebook yun. Ah, ganun ba? Hindi. I-PM mo muna. Ah, ganun ba yun? Hindi, alam na ng mundo, sinout out mo eh. Click, you know, share. Kinlik mo agad yung share. Yung share, buong mundo alam na tuloy. Tuloy, nag-aaway yung dalawang girls na yun. Something like that. But anyways, the point is, you know, yun, discipleship, sit down with them, and then believe in them. And then you tell the guy, look, the reason why I'm helping you in this area, Ian, is because it's going to be February again. And you're going to be preaching in the pulpit about love. And here you are, last 2 months ago, you gave 3 shout-outs. That's questionable. Now, will you make that as your tension in your message this February? And I mean, in other words, it's connected to the job. It's connected to the youth. And so I plead with you, Ian. I plead with you. Listen to me on this one. I've known you for a long time. But, you know, just listen to me on this one. You're going to be preaching again tomorrow. I mean, next week, next month on this area. And this, alam mo yun, it's really, it's connected to the job and you want to help the guy because you know the guy is strong in other areas but weak in this area. Go try help. So believe. Kumbaga, medyo yung credibility niya doon mahina. Pero, you know, how do you find love again? Love covers a multitude of sins. So hindi porke nagkamali siya doon, parang diniscredit mo na lahat yung 500 people who got saved last year in his ministry in FEU. Now he's a man. So I hope you know what I'm talking about. Okay, so trust and credibility, relationship and productivity, the balance of relationship and productivity. Tayo, lalo siguro sa U-Belt, siguro culture din yun, yung kuya ate. Dito sa Fort, I don't think they call each other kuya ate on a Friday thing. I don't think so. But UMAC, I'm sure there are some of them, they call Kuya Ate to coach, right? But UBEL, I think it's part of it. But at the same time, there's this relationship intact, and yet at the same time, there's a tension with productivity and growth and so on. So what else? Personal and professional growth. There's you're growing personally, you're growing, and yet professionally, you're reading books, trying to check some books on eBay as far as books about youth, about campus. There's this book I saw one time when I was in an outreach in Guam. I mean, it was so good. It's as thick as this. I forgot the title. That book really helped me in campus ministry. But I lost it. I gave it to, I lent it to someone. I didn't know now who borrowed it. I couldn't see it. I'm always referring to it. I still remember the book up to now because it really helped me in my ministry. And so there are books like that. When you go to a bookstore, you know exactly where to go. You go there and enhance your own professional as a campus minister research, read articles. What are the blogs you've been reading to help you enhance your ministry professionally? Really, it's really important, especially in Lifebox, in youth ministry, because you have to upgrade yourself. Yung last year, iba na, luma na naman, iba na naman ngayon. So you have to catch up again. 2 years ago, JJ Mon, talagang sikat na sikat. Ngayon, ano yun? Diba? But you have to catch up. So what's you gotta keep yourself abreast. So personal, in your personal life, you know, continue to read your Bibles, you pray, you don't compromise on that area. Make it a priority. Your personal life, your quiet time, your Bible reading. Your Bible reading sometimes is more caught than taught. There's that spiritual transference. If there's no spirituality in you through the word and prayer, they'll sense it. They'll feel it. You can't cover it with all jokes and humor. It is to be spirituality. There's no, you can't exchange spirituality with other things, with gimmicks. The only thing going in that youth ministry, in that school, is that the campus minister is on fire for the Word of God. The Word of God is like is a sizzling item in his heart. Consumed with the Word of God. I mean, yun na lang eh. Alam mo yun? Kahit medyo mali yung suit mong kulay, mali yung suit mong book, mali, pumalpak yung gupit sa'yo that week. Wala ka ng pakalam. Basta importante, you're oozing with the spirituality, with the things of God. Yun na lang yun eh. And it would attract young people, not just the color of your clothes or the hair that you have that day. So personal and professional, and obviously the sense of community, that what you're saying already, family. So that's really very important. And if you have that culture, if you have that atmosphere, anong effect? Now there is, if you have that, then there is there's loyalty among your youth. They'll remember you. They'll be there. You know what I highly esteem now? I really value, even though I don't do it. I just attend if they invite me. The youth that I used to pastor are now getting married, and they invite me. It's either Ninong or do the weddings. I don't do weddings. I don't announce it now. Before, I used to announce I don't do weddings. Now, I don't do it. I just, okay, great. Now, if it is one of those youth who's about to get married and kind of insinuating if I want to do the wedding or not, if it's okay for me, they're just insinuating, I'm volunteering. Because it's a highlight for me now. Visiting a wedding of one of those youth that I ministered to before. Maybe because that's my top two in my strength finder, relator. I find value in old relationships with those guys I discipled in the past. And I value those. I take pride in being in that wedding. Because ang kukulit nito nung araw eh. Parang ito yung graduation, graduate na ako, parang sa wakas mag-asawa, kakanak ka rin. Paparusahin. No, no, hindi naman paparusahin. But I'm done. Kumbaga, I'm done, you know. This is it. This is my crown. You're getting married and finally, you know. But so there is that eh. There is that connection. Kahit na may, do you remember when I was in the campus? Wala na, that's your reward already. There's loyalty, there's retention of people, they remember you and the things that you've imparted them when they were students, when they didn't have money. Imagine that. They didn't have money, they were so insecure, and yet you were there for them. They'll remember you because even though they didn't have anything to give back to you, you were there for them. That's why there's nothing like youth ministry. Nothing like working with the campus and the students. And you can't see the result now, but in the future, you can see the result. And so there's greater, the bottom line is there's greater impact in society. You see them getting, you know, successful in whatever they're doing. But because you have helped create that culture in their lives when they were small. Now, some of them, they have healthy family life, and so they get it. So you enhance it only. and you highlight those kasi, and the more they respect their parents. Those have come from broken family, you don't say negative about their parents. In fact, you help them communicate to their parents, respect them in spite of what's going on and so forth. So those are the things. And when we have that, then you ask them to, you know what, why don't you pray? Hindi na mag-hesitate yun. Kasi you've invested in their lives. You worked out in some issues in their lives and you tell them to lead a small group. They're not going to say no. What else do you want me to do? Yun lang. And now you have leaders there ready. Your bench is deep because you have lines of leaders because you've created that. So it's just the thing. Now, going back to the scriptures, I discovered three major scriptures that had this situation. First one, you're all aware of this, Exodus chapter 18. I believe Exodus chapter 18 was the day Moses became a leader. Yep. What is Exodus chapter 18? What's the gist of that chapter? It was when his father-in-law visited him, and the father-in-law observed something wrong with the picture. What was wrong with the picture? Remember? Open your Bibles. Just give me a summary. Huh? He was the only one doing everything. And he has given good reports, yes. But when the father-in-law observed what he was doing, that day in, day out, he was just there listening to all the problems where all people are lining up. Then at the end of the day, the father gave a recommendation and said, what you're doing is not good. His heart, there's nothing wrong with his heart. What was his heart? To take care of the people. There's nothing wrong with that. But he realized after the advice from his father-in-law that you will be able to take care of more people if you trust others to do and help carry the load with you. When he did that, then there were qualifications. Remember what were the qualifications here? Able man. What verse is that? 21. Verse 21, and it says there. Okay, read that out loud for us, May. Select capable men from all the people, men who fear God, trustworthy men who hated dishonest gain, and appoint them as officials over thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens. Amazing. Now, there's some of them probably were not trustworthy, and yet that's why, you know, just imagine some of our kids. Lifebox, for example. I mean, those kids, some of them are being coached by you guys. Part of their program is they're supposed to be coached by someone on a regular basis. And what happens? After they graduate, they're being taken left and right from different companies because they became trustworthy. Because they were discipled when they were in school. They had coaches. There are people helping them. So now when companies are in need, they knew exactly where to get them or who, the type of people that they needed. So select capable men and so on and so forth. Have them serve as judges for the people of all times, but have them bring every difficult case to you. At simple cases, they can decide themselves that they may make your load lighter because they will share it with you. If you do this and God so commands, you'll be able to stand the strain and all these people will go home satisfied. And we're experiencing that right now in wherever we are. People are lining up to go to the youth group. Did you see that picture yesterday? Here outside, people are lining up just to go to... How many thousands do we have in U-Belt now? We used to have 200. We're so excited already. We will change the world. 200 people, 200. Now 4,000, was it? Wow, what happened? Now the problem is, how are we going to disciple them? Now, you don't have to stop that. No, don't come anymore because we have to catch up with our leadership. No, you can't do it. There's some momentum. You can't stop the people in coming in. You got to do something. The leadership got to, you have to do something. Create the culture. There's some toxic culture there. Set it as, I mean, you, as a leader, current leader in your youth groups, you have in your groups, you have to be, as a leader, when you see something wrong, don't tolerate it. Don't wait for a month. Face it head on. Address it. That's what a leader is all about. You see a trash. You see a trust. You're walking. You're the youth pastor. You have 3,000 youth and you're youth pastor. You see a trust. Come on, pick it up. Whatever situation you're facing, do something about it. If you cannot pick it up because you just ran 160 kilometers last month, then ask someone to go and pick it up. At least solve the problem. When you see a problem, don't tolerate it. If you cannot do something about it now because you have to go home, you have a new baby, you're married now. Is there anyone married here? You have a baby and you can't do it now, but you have to address it because you're going to have a youth service again tomorrow. You got to go home. Your wife is waiting. He's just delivered a brand new baby. Give a call on your way home and call someone and says, bro, I'm really sorry, but would it be okay if you call this person? Because I saw him like this, like that. That's the leader. Because if you put it under the rug, you're going to have that thing is going to bite you sometime somewhere in the future. Solve it. That's why you're a leader. Don't be passive. When you see situations, solve it. Steve would ask me. He says, Steve, what happened? Like this. What did you do? That's the hardest question to answer. What did you do? Kasi ang daling magsumbong eh. Di ba? Lalo na pag ibang may kasalanan, hindi ikaw, di ba? You know, Steve, this guy, he did this. Oh, really? Oh, okay. So what did you do? Huh? What did I do? I approached him, and what else? I prayed for him. No. I mean, that's the hardest. Why? Because as a leader, when you see something wrong, do something about it. Don't wait for it, because it's going to bite you somewhere in the future. So, and if you can't do that because there's so many, then assign. Ask someone. If not, if the guy cannot do it, tomorrow, okay, tomorrow I'm going to do it, but I want you to be with me. And we're going to face that situation tomorrow. Tag along. I mean, be with me tomorrow. Okay. So now you're handling this situation. You're not just solving the problem, but you're going to be addressing the problem in the future because you have a guy who will help carry the burden tomorrow or solve the problem tomorrow. You see? That's why you do not do things by yourself. The only time you do things by yourself is when you are in the bathroom. The rest, you got to have someone with you. Are you here? Get someone with you. Don't you? But I'm single. Surround yourself with youth. Surround yourself with those guys. When I travel as much as possible, I get someone with me. When Steve asked me, you want to go, can you go to Bogota? Can you go to, you know, there's this car. You know, Steve, I want to go here. You know, who are you going to go with? I don't know. Oh, there's this guy. You know, he told me he wanted to be in the ministry. He approached me because when he was 12, 13, he told me he wanted to be like us, me and Oming Cervantes. And so we just set him aside. But, hey, I didn't know he's true to his word. After graduating from college, he approached me and says, I'm here. I want to be a pastor. Oh, really? And then I came back to him and says, guess what? You want to be a pastor? Raise your support. I'm going to go to Bogota. You accompany me. When you come back, we'll see. That was Dennis C. So I went to Bogota with Dennis C. Volunteer. Paid his own way. No, not. He didn't pay. Jesus paid. Jesus paid his own way. Why? Because actually he raised his own. He started doing comedian gigs in Makati during Christmas season. And he received some TF, talent fee. May talent siya. And then at the end of the day, Pastor Dennis, konti pa lang na-raise niya eh. So apparently, he prayed and Jesus answered. And so Jesus gave him the money and he was able to join me. I found out his dad's name is Jesus. So that's the problem. So Jesus si pala yung daddy niya. So then he joined me and the rest is history. Why? Because we had history together. And then somebody invited me to go to China for the first time. I said, I don't want to go. Well, not that I don't want. I'd love to go, but I don't want to go there by myself. So I called on, I think it was Pastor Gilbert. I said, Gilbert, I saw Ryan there. Can you send Ryan with me? I want to go travel with Ryan. Is that okay? Sure, can also see Ryan. So we went. Kami ni Ryan. Oh, okay, excited si Pastor Ryan. Pastor Ryan siya ngayon. Dati, ano lang siya eh. Hindi pa siya pastor eh. And so we went to Guangzhou, China. First time. Pareho kami first time, you know? And so we went in there. So I really love Ryan because he really respects me so much. I mean, he calls me pastor in every sentence. Pastor Ferdy, yes, Pastor Ferdy, yes, Pastor Ferdy. So, okay lang, tolerable hanggang sa aeroplano. But as soon as we got down Guangzhou, I don't want him calling me pastor. We're now in China or else we'll end up in jail. So we went to the CR. When we were in the CR, I said, Ryan, please, don't call me pastor anymore. Just call me Ferdy, Ferds, F, whatever. Just don't call me Pastor Ferdy. Is that okay? We're in China now, bro. Okay, Pastor Ferdy. Sabi ko, bahuli tayo nito. But anyways, but the point is, he was with me. We went to the Kasuluk-Sulukan Resort, and we've seen some of the students making bantay in every corner because there might be police car coming in. So went inside, and then Bible, walang Bible. Pagdating lang doon, meron pala sa loob. And people would praise and worship, not shouting too loud, but enough for us to enjoy each other's voices. And while praise and worship, people are weeping. Every one of them weeping. So I have to look out at the forest, you know, not to get swayed with the crying and all. And Ryan was there with me all along. So it's just amazing. Amazing. So I went, my last trip, I was with John Webb. Don't do things by yourself. Get someone with you. Clear? You want to raise leaders? Tag along with someone. Who is that person you're traveling with now? Who is that person you're with most of the time? Equipping them. Talagang deliberately training. They don't know it, but you know it. Don't tell them naman, I'm training you, ha? Baka magtanong sila, sin disciple siya. Okay, don't even tell them you're the discipler. Don't even dare tell them you're the disciple. Just go, hey, what are you doing now? Are you sure? Are you sure? Okay, Dar, come with me. That's it. That's training already without even him knowing it. I was an usher. And I was an usher, excited. That was my best ministry. And then Steve is on the stage. If he was doing that. I was there at the back. Oh, man, he needed some water. So I went and got some water and then went around. Went in front of the next to the stage. Steve, you know, I got water for you. No. Just stay here with me. Oh, okay. Doon lang, entire service, doon lang. He was doing something, I was just there. And then one time after the service, he was ministering to the guy. I mean, I think he committed murder. I don't know, man. He was ministering to the guy. And then he looked at me and said, so then he put a chair there next to him. And then I sat down. I was just listening to the conversation. I was just watching ping pong. And then he got down on his knees. Now I want us to get down. I'm telling you, I think it was murder. Because he asked us to get down on our knees. And then we got down on our knees. Sunod din ako, siyempre. Alam naman ako, nakaupo sila lang dalawa. So the three of us are kind of repenting. And while this guy is repenting of something, I forgot the sin. But I remembered. He was asking me to join him. I remember that even today. He's not even an evangelist. But he equipped me as an evangelist. Who brought me to UST to share the gospel? It's not an evangelist. It was a teacher, Steve Merle. We went to FEU. We preached to these law students. He approached these law students as if he has known them last week. But he has only met them now. And I was there watching the entire scenario. I was amazed on how you can approach a group of young men. Me watching, it changed my perspective. And it's smooth talking, they were talking, and then he ended up sharing the gospel. Who taught me as an evangelist to preach or to share the gospel? A teacher, not even an evangelist, Steve Merle. So I'm telling you, who is that guy, that person you're deliberately training all the time? Or another person, that person, who are they? Very important. Okay, so that was Moses. So he learned his lesson. That's why that chapter, I believe, is a chapter the day that Moses became a leader. He found out that the best way to take care of the people is not to do it by himself, but to train and equip, identify others to do the job so that many more will be taken care of. Exodus chapter 18. Now let's go to New Testament. What about Acts chapter 6? Go check Acts chapter 6. What's the scenario in Acts chapter 6? Go check the Bible. Let's go. What's in there? Acts chapter 6. Distribution of food. And then what happened? Can you just read it for me, King? the entire, up to verse 7, I think.
Okay. Now at this time, while the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint arose on the part of the Hellenistic Jews against the native Hebrews, Antioch. And these they brought before the apostles, and after praying, they laid their hands on them.
So the word
of God kept on spreading, and the number of disciples continued to increase greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests were becoming obedient to the faith.
So the growth even went further. It didn't stop. And they were able to meet the growth because they've realized the need, which is to trust these folks, these young people right here, with different backgrounds, different situation, with different weird names you can't even pronounce. and yet they made history. And from this bunch, the first martyr of Christianity came from there, Philip. He was so consumed with Christ. He was just a plain distributor of food to the home for the aged, because these old people came from Greek countries, and they brought with them money, and they went home to retire, and they have all the money. The foreigners, I mean, the people who came from abroad, they had money, while the people in Jerusalem, they didn't have money. So the church was able to facilitate the food distribution among the old people in the church. And became part of the job of the church is to distribute, just like the Saturday thing we do in Pasig. It's almost like that, but this time with the old folks. And now they needed ushers to do that. People could distribute food. And yet, even that, they had to spend time together in prayer and appoint leaders filled with the Spirit, wisdom, faith, and so on and so forth in order to do the job of what? Distributing food. But I believe it's not just about distributing food, but it's about the next generation of leaders that will help bring the movement to the next level in the church in the book of Acts. And it did happen. Stephen made history. The rest of the guys, we didn't hear from them anymore, but they were able to address the need of the situation by identifying, by seeing the giftings in their lives, magnifying that gifts. It probably equipped them a little bit and then gave them a platform. How many know the worst thing that can happen to a person is to be so gifted and equipped but no platform? That's the worst thing that can happen. The most frustrating thing that can happen. Why? Because they were not given a chance to make a little mistakes. Because they were so some leaders are so perfectionists, they cannot even trust simply because the guy didn't have gray hair. We can only trust people with gray hair. That means they're expert. Give them a chance. Because when you do, then the ministry will become lighter and we'll be able to minister to more people who are coming in to our movement. So anything you want to add about Acts chapter 6? Acts chapter 6? Anything you've observed there? So once again, yes, sir.
I like the way they responded to the problem was they were thinking strategically. Because sometimes I feel, even for myself, when my disciples are makulit or there's problems with campus missionaries, none in this group, no? But if there's problem with some of our campus missionaries, what do I do? How do I get involved right away? But they were clear about their priorities as the leader. So they said, we need to raise leaders to be able to make this thing happen.
Yeah.
Because if the only answer is come earlier, work hard, after a while it will become unbearable. Yeah. But by, like you said, trusting people with weird names,
yes.
The work became possible.
Weird backgrounds. Great. That's right. Anything else? I think that empowering culture, I have one more passage, but maybe I can use that. Can we have a break or we need to have a break? Okay, let's have a break right now. Let's be back around what time?